I'm Norm Shealy. NormShealy.com. You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
Welcome to Infinite Consciousness tonight, and thanks for listening. This is Eva Herr. Tonight I'm going to be talking with Deborah Merlin, and we're going to talk about her book, Victory Over ADHD, and the long journey that she took healing her children. How are you, Deborah?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on your show, Eva.
It's my pleasure, dear. What a fabulous book.
Thank you.
I have to say, I'm going to have to go and read this book a couple of times, and I don't normally say that.
So just a lot of information.
Yeah, it is, and I like how you are. What is your background?
I was an insurance investigator for many years, and then I left so I could raise my twins, who needed a lot of help.
The reason I ask is nobody, well, I won't say nobody, but typically people don't put all the pieces together, like amino acids and, you know, detoxing and enzymes and probiotics. I mean, and you did a really good job doing that in your book. And I was surprised that you didn't have a medical background.
Oh, well, thanks. It's an interesting topic for me.
So let me just start off saying, before we get started on this show, to protect both of us, Deborah Merlin is not a physician. And the information that she provides is for informational purposes only. It's your job to go take the information that she gives you and go and research it if you have this kind of problem. She at least gives you information and where to start, but she's not a physician, and she's just giving you information from her experience with her own past and her own children. There, just wanted to make sure everybody understood that.
And I'd also like to add, do not take your children off any medications because of anything I should say. Please work with your doctors.
Yeah, please don't take any new medications or take anything off without talking to your doctors.
Right.
Because bad things can happen if you abruptly take somebody off of a medication.
Absolutely.
And medicines have contraindications when they're mixed. So just take this information and talk to your doctor. Now, tell us where we can find you, Deborah, where people can find you.
My website is victoryoveradhd.com.
And tell me just a little bit about you and how you came to this point in your life to write this book.
Well, as you said, it was a long journey. And it was a lot of heartache, a lot of money spent on different tests, some that were not necessary. And once I found the answers, I knew that, I know what a journey it was. So I felt that if I could write this book for parents, it would eliminate a lot of stress in time to help their children. And I was actually seeking this for this kind of book while I was going through this journey, and this kind of book was not out there on this level. So that's why I wrote the book. And also, one also important reason too is because most pediatricians, medical doctors that are not educated about alternative medicine really don't get it. And I thought, because most parents do go to allopathic doctors, Western doctors, they're not going to get this information. And parents really need to know this information. They deserve to know this information.
I can't tell you. Well, first of all, my oldest son, who's 25 now and in the Army, had ADHD, and they put him on Ritalin, and he walked around like a zombie. And when he got to puberty, he got suicidal. And he got these really funny tics that he did all the time. So then I have another little child right now that's 11, or he'll be 11 soon. And I can't tell you how many times the school said, you need to put him on Ritalin, you need to put him on Ritalin. And it pissed me off. So I wrote this long paper putting together all the information that I could find from resources that I have, and literally went and stood down there at the school and handed out information. They hate to see me coming.
I love it.
So, anyway, start with me and tell me, what are the first things that you found out that contributed to the ADHD, and What are the symptoms that your children exhibited to make you know something's going on?
Well, it was interesting because I did not have experience in raising children. I never spent that much time with young children. And here I had premature twins with special needs. So just in general, I was not really knowledgeable of what was right and what was not right because I had nothing to compare them to. But I was told by the time they were two that they had severe language delay and there were other gross and motor skill delays. And I put them in an early intervention program. And the woman who was the teacher in that program thought for sure they were both autistic. But by the time they were three, she said they were showing more signs of attention deficit disorder. And particularly with one of the twins, more hyperactivity. So I didn't know where to begin. This is before the internet. And because my children are about to turn 22, so you're going back 20 years now. And ADHD was becoming more common, but it was not nearly as common as it is today. So my kids did have a hard time staying on task. They seemed not to be listening or following instructions well. They obsessed on a few things. And just in general, they were sweet boys. They were just hyperactive. And one of the twins also was exhibiting some facial tics, and he was not even on Ritalin. But they did have a lot of allergies, and that was the beginning of the journey, is realizing that a lot of these kids actually have a lot of food and environmental allergies. So that was the first step, was dealing with the allergies. And what was interesting, and I'm sure many of the listeners who have children will relate to what I'm about to say, but many of these children have frequent ear infections, and then they end up going on antibiotics, which causes yeast overgrowth. So it's just not one thing that's causing the symptoms. It's many things that are probably connected to each other that are reinforcing the symptoms. And it turns out that one of the twins had about 35 rounds of antibiotics by the time he was five.
Yeah, so did my older son. Mm-hmm. When I was reading that in your book, that kind of slapped me in the face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this twin, they thought for sure, even though he didn't have the actual label of autism, some of his teachers thought he was high-functioning autistic because of his behavior. And he just never seemed to listen and would go off and play by himself and would just focus on dinosaurs. But what was interesting with him, he always had fluid in his ears. And once we got to an allergist, she was frustrated because we were doing giving them allergy shots. But she said, it's always there. And so I was referred to a Chinese doctor. And when I told her I was going to take him to a Chinese doctor, she said, be careful, be careful. You know, they don't really know what they're doing and they could cause harm. But I took him and he said, your sons, both of them have dairy allergies. And he gave them some herbs. And we took them off dairy and sugar and just would actually allow them to have one piece of fruit a day. And with next time I took my kids to see her, there was no more fluid in the ears. And there were no more ear infections. As a matter of fact, that was the last ear infection he ever had after we took them off the dairy.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So these pediatricians kept on giving my children antibiotics to treat a dairy allergy.
What about wheat and gluten? When did you figure that out?
Well, that's a tough one, and they never totally went off wheat and gluten because that was, with their particular situation, that was not as much of an issue. And because it took them off the dairy, it's like, Mom, you cannot take us off wheat too, you know. But I actually did take one of the twins off wheat for a while, and I didn't see a big difference. But I have seen a difference in other children who have gone off the wheat. They have seemed to improve.
Well, one of the things that really interests me were the amino acid tests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That really fascinated me.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about your experience with that?
Yes, amino acids, the building blocks of life, and they're very powerful. Most of us have an amino acid deficiency, in at least some of the amino acids. And one of my twins, the other one, Wesley, was having facial tics. And as he was getting older, the tics were getting worse. And he also had a violent temper with no impulse control and was failing in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was complaining to my doctor who practices alternative medicine about them, and he had really never seen them professionally. And he recommended that we do a QEEG on my son, which is a quantitative something or other. It's in the book. I don't know the whole word offhand, but anyway, it was a test to measure his brain activity. It turned out he was having brain seizures. And it's really important to know that a lot of these children who are either ADHD or autistic are actually having some brain seizure activity. Really common. And I think that's a lot of that's connected to the heavy metal toxicity, which is also part of the journey. But once we got the test results back and we saw there was seizure activity going on, instead of prescribing Depakote, which is the anti-seizure medicine, which has a lot of side effects, my doctor recommended that we do an amino acid panel on him. And it turned out his amino acids were low. And within a week of supplementing him with amino acids, all his symptoms vanished.
Do you know who your doctor recommends for testing amino acids?
Well, it's in the book. I believe it's Made a Matrix.
Okay. I'm familiar with him. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And also, when you... It's a fasting test, so if you were to do it early in the morning, and you can't even brush your teeth before you go to get a real clear reading on your amino acid deficiencies.
How much do these tests cost you, do you remember?
Well, it depends if they do a 20-panel or a 40-panel, and I don't. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since we've actually done the test, but they can range, I don't know, $200
to $300 to $400. Okay. As I think, one thing that I've recently learned and someone that I interviewed is amino acids also more than likely contribute a great deal to addictions too. So people who have, you know, addictions to street drugs or pharmaceuticals or alcohol, that amino acids seems to be one of the major solutions to that problem.
Yes, it calms the brain.
Well,
it calms the brain. It actually,
if you get the right ones, it calms the brain.
Yes, it makes you feel good. It's a feel good because it's actually giving your, it's balancing the serotonin in your brain.
So tell me, what did your doctor recommend specifically for your children? Well, let me back up. You write in your book that there are three different kinds of ADHD. Can you talk about that? I wasn't aware of that until
your
book.
There's the attention deficit disorder without the hyperactivity. And then there's the ADHD with hyperactivity. Judith Bluestone, I don't know if you have my first book or my second book. What's the cover?
I'm actually talking about where you talk about ventromedial attention, dorsolateral, and orbitofrontal, and how the different personalities...
Oh, right. Yes, that's in Jim Blumenthal's chapter.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that... it's interesting because... kids with ADHD, they all can have different symptoms. Some may not be as affected in certain areas as other ones are. So depending on the wiring of the brain and what's happening depends on how the symptoms show up. So if there's some children who have lack of wiring in the front of their brain will exhibit certain symptoms, whereas... I have to find that chapter because that...
Okay, well, I'll just say it for you because I'm there and I want my listeners to know. I'll help you out so you don't have to feel stressed out.
Okay.
Remembering something because I know how that is. It says ventromedial attention deficit shows up as inattention, apathy, lack of ambition, lack of interest in social interaction, and lack of spontaneity in speech. Do you have anything you want to add to that before I go to the next one?
Yes, and that's really important information because... Dr. Daniel Amen, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's a doctor in California that does a lot of testing on amino acids and brain testing. And it's interesting that really bad criminals who murder people, they have no empathy. They lack certain...
The sociopaths.
Mm-hmm. They lack certain wiring in their brain, in the frontal part of their brain. They lack the apathy.
So I'm going to read a little bit about from this little chapter that he wrote. Let's see. They are most worrisome for society because they create sociopaths, people who know right from wrong, but they don't care about their consequences. They tend towards inappropriate or childish humor. They lack, they have a lack of inhibition of instinctual behaviors, which can lead to belligerence, hypersexuality, and hyperphagia. So, and then the third one that he talks about, and I'm just trying to help you out here because I know it's stressful getting on a radio show and not being able to remember everything in a book.
Well, particularly because another doctor wrote the chapter.
Yeah, the dorsolateral.
Right, I'm looking at that right now. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Well, they have difficulties with executive function. They just can't get their act together to focus and to actually carry out their daily duties. They have a hard time planning, thinking ahead, following complex directions.
So they would start and stop projects.
Right,
finish
yeah.
them.
Mm-hmm. Rhythm and timing, coordination's off.
I can imagine mm-hmm. one of my kids or one of those children, my daughter's one of those children. She's a great kid, and she made honor roll at school, and she swam on the swim team and went to state, and she worked as a lifeguard. But, man, that child pushed every limit there was, and she laughed all the way.
Wow.
You know, no matter what it was, driving the car without a driver's license and, you know, but it was so much fun, Mom. It was such a thrill, you know, the kind that push all the limits, I guess, would be that then.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds about right. Yes, and the thing is, you know, with the different types of attention deficit disorder, to me it's where the injury is in the brain. You know, there's some, like, autistic kids, and I should also share with you is that ADD is on the spectrum of autism. It's all continuum. It starts with ADD, ADHD, dyslexia, Asperger's, and high-functioning autism and low-functioning autism. And there's a connection, is that these conditions are caused by the same things. It just depends on how severely impacted each individual is and how it manifests. And for example, with heavy metal toxicity, causes neurological damage. So depending on what part of the brain is affected is how it's going to show up. And Judith Bluestone, who wrote a chapter for my book, who was born autistic, felt that her autism came from her dad working in a pesticide factory when she was born with DDT and other pesticides that have since been banned. And her mother ate a lot of fish from Lake Erie that was toxic with mercury. And she was an intuitive. And when she was growing up, she had all these bizarre symptoms, all these weird, and that's how her family described her, as just being weird, neurological issues. And she was just able to develop through her own intuition what parts of her body could be healed by doing simple low-tech exercises to rebuild the neural pathways in the brain.
Like, what do you mean?
Well,
like tapping? Or
yes, that's one of the tapping. But this is not the face tapping that emotional freedom technique uses. That's also mm-hmm. very effective and wonderful. But it's a pattern in tapping your face that literally bounces the right and left hemisphere of your brain.
Like bilateral tapping.
Yes, uh-huh. There's a technique. You can go to the website handle.org and look at their techniques.
There's another one, too. I just have to insert here. Dan Benor. Have you are familiar
which
with
one
this
is that?
Book? His name's Daniel Benor, B-E-N-O-R.
I'm familiar.
Look him up, or if you're still interested in looking up stuff. Dan has a great tapping technique that he uses, and we use it in my household, and he's written a book about it called HUI, and I can't remember what that stands for, holistic healing something or other. But he's a really an amazing man when it comes
right.
to human emotions.
Yeah, there's a chapter in my book also about the emotional freedom technique, because it's amazing what we can how we can heal our own bodies.
Another thing that I saw in your book that I found quite interesting is that I never even actually thought about it this way. And I'm just going to read this little sentence here. Inhibitory neurotransmitters develop in infancy and over time increasingly develop through touch and having one's need met. A baby cries to be fed, he's held, and he receives milk he needs. However, neglect, inappropriate touch, malnourishment, and traumatic events send mixed messages to the brain. Consequently, the brain is unable to develop an optimal amount of these much-needed inhibitory neurotransmitters. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that we are our emotions,
yes.
And that's a very good piece of information to think about.
Yes.
Why
yes.
Certain people have certain characteristics.
Yes.
When they get older.
Mm-hmm. Yes. If a mother's not nurturing or they don't have that support system, that's true. The infant will suffer. 90% of the brain is developed by the time you're 3. So that is really critical, those first 3 years of getting all the right attention. And even in crawling, if some babies don't crawl for some reason, they just go from laying down to walking,
mm-hmm.
That's really not good, because in the crawling, when they're moving right, left, that's balancing the hemisphere of the brain. There's a lot of neurological development going on when an infant is crawing.
That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. And if a baby does not crawl, they're going to have a lot of neurological issues growing up and learning disabilities.
Now let's go back to talking about diet, dairy products and things, and the gut. Because we know that people who don't digest well need probiotics, or else
mm-hmm.
they get leaky gut syndrome. So
yes.
What can you tell me about the connection between leaky gut and ADHD?
Huge. It's huge with ADHD and autism. When my twins were born, they were around 3 pounds. And then, of course, they lose a little weight after they're born. And Wesley had developed meningitis and staph infection when he was 3 weeks old. So here he is, not even weighing 3 pounds, and he's on antibiotics. And then the other twin, Eric, developed NEC, which is an intestinal problem. Well, they thought it was NEC. I don't think it actually was, because it's usually fatal. But they put him on antibiotics. And I'm sure they did not put probiotics in there with it.
Yeah, they never do they?
No. So right off the bat, they had too much yeast going on. And then with my own lack of knowledge, my kids were picky eaters, and I would try anything. I would give them anything to try to get them to eat. So a lot of the choices I was making were contributing to their symptoms, like feeding them foods with artificial food coloring,
mm-hmm.
a major contributor to ADHD.
Yeah, I think back when my daughter was a little child, and I would give her this, I would make oatmeal, and I would fill it full of sugar and
mm-hmm.
you know, cinnamon, and she would love it because it was like candy almost. And now I look back and think, how stupid of a woman could I be for giving my daughter such things?
Yeah, we can't beat ourselves up too much, though.
I only knew now what I knew then.
I know. Well, I say the same thing all the time. My kids were eating cereal with artificial colors, all different colors of the rainbow. And I look at the package, and I rationalize it by saying, well, it's fortified with vitamins. Well, synthetic vitamins that are also not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my kids' brains were starving to death.
So how old were they when things finally started turning around? And how did you get them to change? I mean, my middle child is the picky eater.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine what she would have done if I hadn't given her, you know, carbs and starches and breads and sugar. She would have starved to death. So what'd you
do? Right. Well, I got my kids on fruit really early because I grew up with a sugar addiction. I did not want them to have that. So I was really good about not giving them, buying cookies and candy and ice
mm-hmm.
cream. But they did get their share of sugar anyway through fruit juice and the cereals I was choosing. So, but I felt good about giving them organic fruit. And I have, when they came home from school, they'd have cut up apples and strawberries instead of cookies.
So what did you do about milk? Did you move to soy or
almond? Well, I did. I originally moved to soy, and they really weren't that crazy about it. And almond I use for them. And almond milk's actually delicious, as long as they're not allergic to nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Almond is a great choice because it has protein. And
did you, just out of curiosity, did you use non-GMO? Or did they even have it back then?
Well, I'm sure they did have, I don't know if they had...
Or the soy milk anyway.
Right, right. Yes, I did use non-GMO because of where I was shopping, like Whole Foods.
Uh-huh.
They don't have GMO food. Or so they say, but that's a good point. We have to be really careful with that, and I think that's another contributing factor to why so many of these children are showing up with neurological issues.
And how did you detox your kids? I know that.
It started with the Chinese herbs. When I went to the Chinese doctor at 6, he's giving them these herbs, and I put in a little bit of applesauce. Because they taste horrible.
What about for your? Yeah, no, I've done some of those, and they're pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
What about for the heavy metals? How did you detox them from the heavy metals?
Two things: chelation therapy. Well, three things: chelation therapy, where that's how they measure the heavy metals. It's actually an IV, and they took a urine collection to see how many what the heavy metals were, what showed up. When you do chelation therapy, it actually pushes the metals out of the body. Also, vitamin C is a great way to chelate from lead. One of my twins was a little bit high in lead. It was in the normal range, but in the high normal range. And now, even then, now they have lowered it again, so he was elevated.
Did you ever use calcium deglucarate?
He was using that. Mm-hmm.
And how did you use that? How much did you have to use to get rid of his, to detox him?
I was giving them both, I believe, two capsules a day, one with breakfast and one with dinner. My kids were really excellent about swallowing pills, and I know that might be a challenge for some parents to get their kids to swallow pills. So a lot of times you can just open the capsule and mix it in their juice.
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Did you ever use lecithin?
I still do. Mm-hmm. All this is really important, you know, for the mood. But another thing, going back to the how to chelate the heavy metals too, was DMSA, which is an oral pill,
mm-hmm.
To help detox as well. And then this Corella, which is a blue-green algae,
mm-hmm.
which is a natural way. And there's also homeopathy, and this is something I didn't discuss in the book, but I really want to put it out there. There's a homeopathic program called CEASE, C-E-A-S-E. It was developed by a Dr. Smits, and he's since passed away, but he lived in the Netherlands, and they actually have a program that detoxes kids from heavy metals through homeopathy. And what's really interesting about homeopathy, it works on a deep energetic level. It literally removes the imprint of any poison that you've had. But you have to know exactly what poison is in you to
mm-hmm.
treat it. But I actually myself, pesticides are also another major contributor to ADHD. And there's been a lot of press about that.
Did you have to travel to that doctor, or is it something, how did you get that treatment protocol?
The CEASE? Well, uh-huh. I actually just have done it, I did it for myself because I've been doing a lot of research on DDT, the pesticide DDT that they sprayed.
Mm-hmm.
When we were growing up in the 50s, 60s, early 70s, and then
mm-hmm.
they banned because of the neurological damage it was causing to children and animals. And what I was reading up, and I had attention deficit disorder growing up, and Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is a low thyroid. And I was reading that DDT actually is the cause of ADD and Hashimoto's thyroiditis in many people. And I read further, and they said for young women, they found that young women who were exposed to DDT, there's a strong correlation between developing breast cancer later in life. So I decided I really want to get rid of this DDT. I don't want it in my body. And I respect homeopathy. So I contacted a friend who's a homeopath, and she connected me to a woman who just got certified as a CEASE therapist locally in Los Angeles, and she did the DDD CEASE detox on me. And I actually wrote about it. It's still up there on my blog at victoryoveradhd.com about the journey of being detoxed from DDT. It works.
So did you put on there what you did?
I did. I took these this DDT remedy. It's actually the remedy from DDT. It's do you know much about homeopathy yourself?
Well, I understand how it works, but I don't know the names of the different ones.
Well, then it's called DDT.
Interesting.
And I if you read my blog, it really goes. And my homeopath also writes on the blog to educate the readers about the whole protocol. It was an amazing and very intense.
How long did it take you to feel better?
When I was in the second month, I was really sick because I got bronchitis on top of doing the detox. I had over 100 hives in my body. That was the DDT coming out. That was a good thing. Even though it's scary seeing the hives, it's something that the homeopaths celebrate. That means it's working.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. I had been storing this toxic chemical in my body for 56 years, and the homeopathic remedy was able to push it out. I feel fine now. I mean, it took a couple months. I mean, by the end of the detox, I was feeling great.
I don't mean to switch topics here, but I want my audience to understand the severity of your boys, particularly the one, and I want you to make it clear where he was and where he is now so that they have hope for their own children.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
tell us what he was doing and at the time at school, you know, how he was behaving, and as the years would go by, how it would change, and then how he is doing now and what he's doing.
Well, he was so premature. He was 10 weeks early. He had hyaline membrane disease, which is immature lungs. He spent the first month of his life on a ventilator. Then he went to oxygen. He spent the first 4 months of his life in the NICU, then had to be rehospitalized 4 more times. He just couldn't suck, swallow, and breathe enough milk to thrive. He was listed failure to thrive. He was developing facial tics by the time he was 4. He had a lot of allergies, a lot of headaches, constipation, and as he was getting older, he was developing a violent temper with no impulse control. He stopped doing his homework. He just didn't care. And also, because of his prematurity, he had very low muscle tone, so you could not read his handwriting. He was very uncoordinated. There was just a lot of anger there. And some heavy metals showed up in him too, but he wasn't in the very elevated range. But there is no safe range for heavy metals, so we addressed that. But as he was getting older, his facial tics were getting worse to the point where sometimes his face looked totally deformed. And he was desperate to make friends, and for some reason, he just attracted these bad kids, so they would make fun of him and take advantage of him and make him do things that were inappropriate, like kicking someone or calling a teacher a bitch. He did and got in trouble for that. So he was very easily influenced. Once we realized that, with the seizures were happening, and we got him on the amino acids, I kid you not, within days, all those symptoms vanished. His facial tics were gone forever. His headaches had much improved too. He would go do his homework without us knowing about it. His grades went from C's and D's and E's to A's and B's to straight A's in his senior year in high school. And now he's attending Santa Monica City College. He loves writing. He's a brilliant writer. He's also into computers like most kids. And he's learning how to play the piano.
Did he recognize that the difference between the two behaviors? Was it a subtle thing that changed, or was he like, wow, Mom, I really feel better?
No, he really felt better because one day he came home from school, and, you know, he was 12 at this point, so which parents have to realize, too, if your kids are older, it's not too late. They can heal very quickly if the body's given the right tools. And within a few weeks, I mean, he'd been on the amino acids for 3 weeks, mm-hmm. and he came home from school, and he had a smile on his face, and he said, I am happy, and I love life.
Oh,
and that was amazing.
That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. It was a long journey. That's why I really want to share the story with the parents.
So does he continue to take all of these supplements?
Yeah, he does. We all do, actually. We're a big amino acid family.
So what brand do you use?
The very best in the world is Montif Amino Acids.
Spell it, please.
Montiff Amino Acids.
Now, what makes that one so good?
The owner of the company, Don Tyson, is the grandfather of amino acids. He's been working with amino acids since the 60s. And he's a genius when it comes to amino acids. He is obsessed with purity. Many of the supplements we take do have traces of heavy metals in them. And
other have traces of a lot of things in them.
Yes.
Not good.
Yeah. But he personally checks every batch that comes in.
And does he make the kind where it's just like a total amino acid solution that you use to maintain where you are? Or how does that work?
Uh-huh. Well, he doesn't do the compounding amino acids where they're specifically made, but that's not totally necessary. If you have a doctor that knows how to read the amino acid test, and if he doesn't, they can consult with the lab. They can give you separate amino acids to take, which some people prefer. And also, you should be checked periodically to make sure you're at your level. We're kind of overdue on that ourselves.
Yeah.
But I love Montif amino acids because they are pure. I know I'm getting a good quality product. And amino acids are really powerful, so I'd highly recommend to find a doctor who knows something about amino acids, because they are very effective, but you want to make sure you're getting the right amount, because even too much of amino acids is not good.
Yeah. Too much of anything is not good.
That's right. That's right.
Too much or too little of either one of them is not very good.
Right. So you want to make sure you're getting what your body needs and what you're lacking in.
Now, one thing that we've not talked about that's in your book is EMF fields.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's huge, too. Electromagnetic frequencies from computers.
What did you do about that?
Well, we use a product, BioPro. We put chips on the computers and cell phones and Xboxes to neutralize the EMFs that we're being exposed to.
And where did you get your product?
Online, BioPro, BioPro. And in my book, Pat Farrell is a distributor for BioPro products.
Well, just for my listeners' information, and yours if you're interested, there's a man named Jim Beald. I think his website is EMF Effects. He travels all over the country, and he's a great guy. He helped start ICSEM, the International Society for the Study of Cell Energy and Energy Medicine, and that's his passion, the EMF fields. And he travels all over the country testing people's homes and telling them what to do, how to fix their entire house, cheaply, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
He's an amazing thing. And I think his website is emfeffects.com. But either way, his name is James Beal, B-E-A-L. And if anybody needs that or if you need that, he's the one to call. Or A1 to call. He's a great guy. Yeah.
You can measure. There is a device that a meter that reads the EMFs around your house to see how strong the fields are.
Mm-hmm. One thing he told me was make sure that your headboard is pulled at least 18 inches away from the wall if there's a plug behind your bed.
Uh-oh.
And make sure that your bed, if you have like a multi-story house, is not sitting above your Wi-Fi.
Oh, that's interesting, too.
Which I hadn't thought about until he told me about that, but it made so much sense.
Yeah, yeah, and also EMFs have been linked to brain tumors, so it's really critical to protect yourself.
Yes, they have. You know, they really have, and I got an email from a scientist the other day, a physicist, and he wrote an article that he was sending out to everybody on the Internet saying that these things, that EMF fields do not cause brain tumors. And I promptly sent it to Norm Shealy. I don't know if you know Norm.
I know who he is, yes.
I promptly sent it to Norm and said, come on, Norm, and to a woman named Magda Havas, who spent her life researching EMF fields and cancer. And Norm wrote back, sorry, but brain tumors have tripled since cell phones came out.
Right, right.
You know, so that's not true that they don't contribute to brain tumors.
And also, it's still too soon to know how much of an impact they're going to have on us, because the cell phone thing has only happened like in the past 15, 20 years, and brain tumors take some time to grow.
Yeah, that's true. But, there are more children right now between 11 and 25 with glioblastoma brain tumors than ever before in time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if anybody's interested, there's a woman named Magda Havas, M-A-G-D-A is her first name, and H-A-V-A-S. And this woman's done a lot of work. It is not too soon to know. You just look at her work and your mouth will drop open, and you'll have that information that you need to fight that cause that you're trying to fight with your school or your doctor or whoever it is that you're trying to convince to treat your child for this problem.
That's a really great resource to have, too. That's the one thing I really encourage parents to do, their own research.
And if anybody needs that information,
mm-hmm.
email me, and I'll send it to you. Send it to you in just a few minutes, so you'll have it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you, because I don't have a pen right with me at the moment, so I appreciate that. And another thing, too, aspartame, it's been linked to brain tumors as well.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah. Tell me, what did your children have any problems with that?
No, we never. As a matter of fact, I can't use aspartame at all. It gives me an instant headache. Thank God.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah. So no, and that is, but pregnant women will drink it.
Well, they don't know what they don't know, you know.
They don't know. So
they don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And artificial food coloring also contain traces of heavy metals. So
did you, what do you do to detox from that?
It's the same as you would with any heavy metals, with the chelation therapy. But even though there are microscopic amounts in artificial food coloring, there is no safe level, as far as I'm concerned.
So I guess people should stop drinking those colored Gatorades.
Absolutely.
Those wonderful colored M&Ms that we've been eating for years.
Right,
because
right.
Evidently it makes a difference.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The vitamins.
Absolutely.
The
absolutely.
Or whatever they are.
Yeah, watch out for commercial brand children's suitable vitamins. They actually contain not only aspartame, but artificial food coloring. So you get a double whammy there.
And probably a little bit of heavy metals, too, if
yes.
I had to imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, it's synthetic vitamins. It's
right.
Best to, you know, go more organic or whole food vitamins.
Yeah, I like plant-based vitamins myself.
Yes, absolutely.
In fact, I really like to give somebody to take a plant-based vitamin that's supplemented with amino acids and minerals so that you kind of get at least a little bit of it all, even though amount, quantity matters and quality matters.
Yes.
I found a good one called Viva that I really like a lot.
And that's for?
It's just a good, for people that absolutely refuse to take, you know, supplements of this or that, it's one multivitamin that's
plant-based
that has a good combination of everything.
Yeah. I'll check it out because I'm always doing research. My research is never ending because I'm finding out more.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I do,
just
too.
Love it. I love
do,
it.
Too.
It's almost like my reason to live.
Absolutely. That this journey has been an amazing journey because I actually am healing myself and my issues through my children's issues, because we are all connected in the family. An apple doesn't fall far from the tree, so there's a good chance that when they say, you know, ADHD is genetic, well, yes and no. if I was carrying a toxic pesticide in my body that I'm sure went through my breast milk to my children,
mm-hmm.
so it's connected in that way. Or if an expecting mother has too much yeast in her body, that goes through the placenta to the fetus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really critical, too. In an ideal world, we would all be detoxed before we got pregnant.
Well, we've got about three or four minutes to go, and before, I just want to say the information contained in this book is very good and it's very thorough. If you have a problem with this in your life, take a look at Deborah's book, because it's actually much more thorough than this conversation on the phone.
Right. There's so much you can
really
say in an hour.
The name of the book is Victory Over ADD. And what's your website, Deborah?
VictoryOverADHD.com. And also I have a fan page that your readers can join. And I'm constantly posting up new articles that I'm finding to help with natural resources for ADHD and autism.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you think it's important that we do talk about before we hang up?
I can't think of anything. I think we covered a lot of it, but definitely stay away from foods. Try to eat organic as much as possible. Stay away from foods that are genetically modified in any way. And stay away from the hormones, artificial food colorings, and artificial sweeteners.
And let me just talk about hormones just for a minute to make sure people get that. When you talk about stay away from hormones, it's anything that's methyl, ethyl, poly, propyl, any of those kinds of things in the labels, you have to look. It's in your fabric softeners, it's in your washing powder, it's in your shampoo, it's in your lipstick, it's in your makeup. You don't have to put it in your mouth to get the benefit of it.
That's
actually
right.
It's not a benefit, it's a detriment. It's all estrogenic. So look at the labels. Stay away from it. It's all plastics. Okay, sorry, Deborah, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's a really important point. There's so many things that cause ADHD, and there's a good chance if a child has a lot of those symptoms, there's more than one thing causing it. That's why you can't leave any stone unturned.
There's one thing we didn't get, and we've only got like 2 minutes, but I'm going to do it anyway, is immunizations.
Oh, yes.
You know, I have 3 kids. 2 of them got immunizations. 1 of them didn't, and I can tell the difference. It was a little bit of a battle with my schools.
Yes.
But quite frankly, if everybody else is going to be immunized, what do you have to worry about?
And my children did receive all the vaccines. And if I know now, if I knew then what I know now, they would never receive any of the vaccines. They were premature. They shouldn't have anyway.
And another thing, if you do all of the things and take the nutrition, give your child the nutrition that it needs, ample vitamin C, just short of bowel tolerance, every day.
And vitamin D, too.
Yeah, D3. You know, it's done by weight. 150-pound person needs 10,000 a day. You know, a child may need 500 a day or 1,000 a day. Give your child the nutrition that it needs, and it won't get sick anyway and would have no need for immunizations.
Absolutely.
And remember, we're not doctors. We're just passing along our own personal experiences.
But even though they remove the thimerosal from the most of the vaccines, but the flu vaccine still contains it, they still have aluminum, formaldehyde, and other toxins that are not healthy and have no business being in the vaccines anyway.
Yeah, and I don't want any dead chickens, shot into me.
Absolutely.
Dead chicken guts or whatever it is.
Yeah, I know. It's gross.
I don't want it in me or my children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Deborah, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Eva.
You did a very good job writing this book.
Thank you.
It's full of information. You actually have to read it to get it all.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome, and good night.
Good night.
Hi, this is Elliot Dasher, author of Integral Health.
Integral Health. Integral Health.
You can hear me and others speaking about consciousness and health. Just tune in every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. to Infinite Consciousness with Eva Harris.